So my name is Werner. If you're here, new here this morning and you might not know me, I'm one of the elders at this congregation. And this morning I'm going to speak a little bit about our journey. And just as the Lord is journeying all of us to different congregations, or some of us to different congregations, He's got a plan and purpose for our life. If you sit here this morning, each and every individual sitting here this morning right now, the Lord's got a plan for your life. And there's a journey and there's a road that we have to walk. And if we look back over the last couple of preachers, Kevin spoke about living with the eyes fixed on eternity, and John preached after that about just living a sacrificial life as we journey. And Barry then also spoke about fruitfulness in that time. And I just wanted to pick up a little bit on what they are doing, what I believe, because as we are going and as they are going and as we are staying, there's definitely a call on our lives to walk into something, and the Lord wants to take us further in our journey with Him. So this morning I want to speak about that, our journey. And there's so many scriptures that we read in the Word that speaks about us going from one place to another. And there's scriptures about us walking with the Lord. Maybe we can, if you can just open your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Galatians says, "Walk by the Spirit." I'm obviously not doing it correctly. My one ear is closed now, so I can't hear. But it's fine. Was I do the other one? No, you guys hear me now? It will fall off, maybe. Is it better? Or should I use the other mic? Can you guys hear me? It just feels so... Okay. I feel like I've got a gebrekkelijke oor now. So, we were walking... Ephesians says, walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. Sound a bit better now, it sounds to me. So we're all on a road trip somewhere, and the Lord is forever advancing His kingdom. Is that, that's a true statement, not? The Lord is always advancing. And that means that we have to go with where the Lord is going, and that we are called to go. But the question is then, why do us, and so many of us sometimes feel like we're stuck? Or we're disabled, or we feel like sin or whatever is disabling us to do and to go. And I see a lot of us just stuck in where we are. And the reality is this, is we focus so much upon where we are and where we need to be, but we forget that it's actually our journey that determines where we end up. And we're so fixated upon our lives now and what we're going through, or how we need to be and when we need to be, but we actually forget to journey with the Lord. And now I want to share a little bit of our life story. And sometimes the Lord uses things that happen in your life to show you and teach you lessons. So hopefully you guys can learn something about our family. And I want to be quite vulnerable. And I want to caveat that this was a couple of years ago. It's not recently. So don't judge us. But we don't have family in Cape Town. We only have family outside of Cape Town. So we only have our church family here, which means we a lot of the times we go visit them, or we go on a road trip, we go on an outreach. And this has caused many of affliction between me and my wife. And the reality is there's two types of people. There's those people that like driving, and there's those people who like arriving. And I'm more the arriving type, and she's more the driving type. There are those people that want to leave a certain time, and then there are those people that want to leave sometime. I want to leave a certain time. I want to leave. But we've settled the fact. And another thing is I want to be packed the day before. I want to know, do I need to wash something? Do I need to, do we have what we need? It's like, let's just plan. And my wife just packs whenever she wants to pack. And we've decided now, and how it worked is we actually decided to pack together. And ultimately, I'm packing the car while she's packing a bag. So, that scripture that speaks about iron sharpens iron. That is exactly, that's exactly what has happened to us. All of this said, we get into the car on our way to go. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, that we are... It's at least still, the sun is out when we leave. This is usually about 2 to 3 hours after I wanted to leave. And then we climb in the car and we're on our way. And usually that is not a pleasant experience because we've already fought with one another. And Isabella, my daughter, just sits in the back of the car quiet, thinking like these two grown-ups can't even get through just driving somewhere. We head down the road, everything locked up, put on the alarm. Our dogs are very needy, so if we pack, they get sad. And if we leave, they're sad. And I get down the road, and she says, the first words that come out of her mouth is, "Oops, babe, I forgot whatever it is." Turn around, go back into the house, switch off the alarm. The dogs are like, "You didn't leave us." And then it's like, "Oh, you're leaving us again." Climb in the car, and then we go. And then we don't speak to one another because we're upset and we had a fight. And we do fight sometimes. All couples fight. We fight much less now than we did then. But she can't keep quiet enough because my wife has got many good attributes, but the Lord has blessed her. She's got many good attributes. But the Lord has blessed her with a bladder of an ant. So she wants to stay upset with me while we go, but the fact that she needs the toilet means that she has to speak to me. So I kid you not, the first place that we can stop that's got it, or that we go past the toilet, I have to stop. I know if you are planning a trip, any restroom in a 500 kilometer radius from Cape Town, I can review that restroom for you. Because I've been there. My wife is I go to the toilet when I need to. She goes to she's an in-case peer. She pees in case she might not get to the toilet. So I'm throwing her on the bus here. She's an in-case peer. So it's like, let me just go here in case I don't get to the next town. So we start, and that's not even Seattle, Plato, Vida. If there's one, we have to stop. We're going to get a grab a coffee. There's a farm stall. I want to go there. I'm like, we just stopped. We just peed. We just had coffee. Why do you want to? No, I just want to see. It's all part of the journey. I have learned a valuable lesson that my wife is not going to change. And as the great husband that I am, I realize that I would have to. Otherwise, I lay down my life. I lay down my life for my wife. I've learned not to set a firm departure time because then we don't fight because we leave when we want to. We get there when we get there. I've learned to ask before we leave the house, "My dear, did you pack in your pajamas, your toothbrush?" She still misses things. So when you get there, "Babes, I didn't have this." But it's fine. It's okay. I think it's her focus. My focus was more just getting there. And it's just, doesn't matter what happens in between. Let's just go. This is where we stop. I'm going to stop for you there so you can plan your toilet. And then we're going to go and we're going to get there. And her focus was more actually on the journey. And with me laying my life down and just accepting the person that she is, I actually understood, and the Lord did something in me. Like I was a little bit selfish. I made it all about me and about getting there. And I later on started enjoying the journey. And I knew that sometimes in that journey, you create or you discover things. The Lord, you discover a farm stall with amazing cheesecake or whatever. And the problem is if you discover those, you have to detour to go around. So every time it's you have to get and you stop at more places. But I've realized that there is just as much fun in the journey as arriving to where we were going. And you appreciate the journey way more if you embrace it. And then we don't fight and we have an amazing time. And Isabella, she can see how you overcome adversity in family and how you need to be the least. So all in all, I learned a lesson. My wife is still exactly the same. My daughter sees how her husband one day should lay his life down. But we are way better now. I love going on road trips with you, babe. It's amazing. That is our story about journeying. And if we look at Scripture, we'll see that there's numerous events happening in Scripture that shows us the importance of how to journey well. And one of those stories I just want to touch on briefly is the story of Joseph. And Joseph, as we all know, his journey starts, and when we read, he's 17 years old, and he's the favorite son. And because he's the favorite son, things don't go his way. But before that, the Lord gave him one dream that he will rule over his family, over his brothers, and then over his family, the second dream. And because of that, and because his brothers thought that he's better, they didn't like him. And they planned to kill him, and ultimately they didn't kill him, but they threw him into a pit and then sold him into slavery. And then from slavery, he was sold to a person named Potiphar. And through this, Joseph lived his life. And I want to touch through some scriptures in Genesis as we go and as the story unfolds. And the first one I want to touch on is Genesis 39 verse 3. It says, Potiphar noticed and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. Such a beautiful scripture that shows that the Lord is always with us. But when I read that scripture and you meditate a little bit on that scripture, you'll see one thing, and what I see is someone's life reflecting the Lord in his circumstance. He didn't have to say that I'm a Christian or I believe in God. His life reflected it. And Potiphar saw that, and that's why he gave him more things to do. He put more trust in him. And then, lo and behold, Joseph's struggles is not over, because it says he was a good-looking man and he was well-built. I'm not going to mention any names because there's no one here like Joseph. Gerard was waiting. I was going to say his name. But we don't lie in this. We don't tell lies in the church. And then it goes on, and this is what Potiphar said about Joseph in Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. Sorry, that was Potiphar noticed that the Lord was with Joseph. From there, he went to prison, and he found favor with the prison warden when he was in prison. And this is what the prison warden said about him. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. Once again, the Lord was with Joseph in a difficult circumstance. His life reflected something of the Lord. In this journey there, he met people in prison. Interpreted their dreams, and they told Pharaoh, which is the king of Egypt, and he interpreted a dream of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, because of that, and because of his accuracy, actually made him second in charge of Egypt. And because he was in that place of power, when the famine came, his family actually came to Egypt to seek for food and help. And he came face to face with his brothers. The people that, this is now 15 to 17 years more or less, from when he was sold to now, going through slavery, being lied about, going into prison. And he gets face to face with his brothers. And this is not just friends or someone that he knows says something. It's family members that said something about him. And he gets face to face with them. And I don't know about you, my first response and reaction in that place of power is like, okay, now it's my turn. I'm going to repay the favor. Genesis 45 verse 5, we read, this is Joseph responding to his brothers. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves. That's his first response when he reveals himself to them. It was God who sent me here. Such a beautiful picture showing us that Joseph realized that it was actually not about what happened and whose fault it was. But he needed to go on this journey ultimately for him to become the person that the Lord wanted him to be. He realized that the Lord has sent him there. His brothers might have been the people that made it happen. But he realized, and he didn't look back. And this is the important thing. A lot of us, we feel we're entitled because in the same as Joseph, there's this dream. I'm going to be a ruler. I'm going to do these amazing things. And then I must make sure, and I didn't put it on my timer, so if I go over, just shout. I'm going to do these amazing things. But Lord, why is this happening to me? Why am I being sold into slavery? Why am I going to jail? Why are people, you know, you promised this. But no, Joseph said, Lord, I'm going to find you in this place. I'm going to reflect you well in every circumstance. And then ultimately, what the Lord has promised came true in Joseph's life. And it's once again just revealed, and his journey revealed or his response revealed what the Lord has done in him in that journey. He saw the reason for the journey. He went from pit to slavery to prison to the palace. He found God in every circumstance. He was faithful in every season. His character was formed in those hidden seasons. And he never once focused on the promise. He focused on the nature of the King. And ultimately his destination was shaped by the journey that he walked. And there's amazing stories of Abram and of David and of Paul, all showing us the same thing. That we need to journey well. This is how you journey well. And all amazing things. But for us, where we find ourselves here today, we read those stories and they're amazing and that shows us a picture of how we need to do. But so many times, we just can't do that. It's impossible. And there, I believe there's three reasons why we sometimes struggle to walk this out this journey. That the enemy disables us where we find ourselves. And that, I believe, is three things. It's our location. That's where you are today and the things that you're going through today. Your destination, the call on your life, how the Word says you need to live, the father you need to be, the wife or the husband you need to be. Those things overwhelm us so much that we can't carry on. And then also forgetting to look back at what the Lord has done. And I want to unpack those three things a little bit for us to hopefully learn something in that. And the first one, like I said, is our location, our circumstances that overcome us. And that can be anything from sickness, lack of finance, family feuds, unforgiveness, work stress, not having work whatsoever. But Scripture is clear in John 16, verse 33, it says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And this is the Lord promising us that this life is not going to be so lekker, but don't worry, I've already overcome it and I'm with you. This is a promise. And whatever situation you find yourself today, you don't have to overcome your problem, you just have to find Jesus. That is ultimately what it's about. And sometimes these problems are so big in our lives, and they're like mountains in front of us. And the reality is, if I stand in front of Table Mountain, it's big. But if I'm on top of Table Mountain, you don't even realize, you don't even see the mountain, and everything else looks so small. And that is the value of being able to find Jesus in your circumstance, and not let your circumstance dictate the journey that you are walking. There's things like continuous sin or failing. You're going around that same mountain, not getting breakthrough in certain things in your life. And it keeps you from walking the journey. It keeps you from staying on the road. But the reality is this, is I've climbed Signal Hill. What's it? Lion's Head. Lion's Head. I didn't climb Signal Hill. Who's climbed Lion's Head? How do you get to the top? How do you walk? Around the mountain. And some of us feel that going around the mountain is a problem. And sin is a problem. But sometimes you have to walk things out. But the reality is, the mountain is, as you walk around, those journeys get smaller and you ultimately reach the top of that mountain. But we need to know that we need to carry on walking. Proverbs 5 verse 6, and I'm giving you these scriptures because these are all promises that we need to hang on. And the word is so beautiful and so clear, and there's so much value for us to hang on to. And sometimes we overlook these scriptures and these promises, and sometimes these warnings of what we will face. It says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your straight your paths. Make your paths straight. And it's sometimes easier climbing a mountain going around it than going up straight. I've not climbed many mountains, but it seems like that would be easier. The next one is your destination. And like I said, the reality is we all have been called somewhere. We all are going somewhere. There's expectation on your life. That is just the nature of us being children of the Lord. He is calling us somewhere. But if you like me, it's easier for me to go when I know where I'm going. It's easier for me to know and to go if I can see into the future on the possible things that I might face. So Lord, show me where you want me to go, but also show me how it's going to look. Lord, I'm not expecting it to be easy, but please inform me about the things that won't be easy. And then we can journey, and we can all journey on that, with that spotlight shone into our future. But the reality is this, is that there's a scripture that speaks about His word is a lamp unto our feet. And it's just such a beautiful picture. As we walk this road, as we walk this journey, and as we run this race, and we're heading towards this destination, that the Lord will and only give you enough for your next step. And if you think, if you're walking with a lamp at night, you can only see a step or two ahead of you. And we need to settle the fact that we are not in control, that we do not know, that we need to be faithful in the way that we journey and trust Jesus in our situation today and trust Him even if it's only for the next step. If it's only for the next step, take what you have today, live for today, do the best you can today, because His mercy is on you every morning. You might not feel equipped to be able to reach your destination. Lord, your word says I need to be such a person. I don't know if I can live that life. I need to be such a father. I need to be such a husband or a wife. Lord, I don't know if I can do that. Lord, the church expect me to lead this community. Lord, I don't know if I can do that. Your family might have this expectation. I just don't know if I can do that. And a little bit about my journey is just want to, when I was the first 2 years, people spoke things over me and I thought they were completely mad. I was like, these people are, I don't know what spirit they're hearing, but it's definitely not the Holy Spirit. And I was like, inside, I'm actually just laughing at these people of thinking and speaking these prophetic words over me, the promises of the Lord in my life. And that became so heavy, and I just got saved, and I want to be a good husband. It just became very heavy. And I was just like, no, this is not for me. I can't do that. To a degree where I said to my wife, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to be part of church anymore. Because it was just too heavy to carry. But the reality is this. I looked at the promises over my life, but I didn't find Jesus in that situation. I didn't seek Him for my life for that day. I didn't seek Him and find Him. Lord, you can speak these things over me, but I want to be faithful what you've called me with today. And if that is loving my wife or serving the church or being a saint or being your son, this is what I can do for you today as you strengthen me. And we can't let those things overcome us. Because ultimately, if you have a calling on your life or there's things spoken or you're going to, whatever it is, it is for you to know that you, that is where the Lord is leading you to. That is not who you are on that day. The Lord is leading you, and that is supposed to equip us to say, I want to become more like Jesus because He's got this plan for me. He's got a plan, like I said, for each and every one of us. And for us, it's not to get to the plan, it's to walk the road so that that plan can be fulfilled. If it's in a month or a year or in 10 years, walk the road step by step. Because that call is not supposed to strip us, but it's supposed to equip us to run for Him. It's almost like Christmas. If you know, if your kids know they're going to get this certain gift, they look forward to it. And the call is exactly that. It's not something that you feel you need to ascertain to have worth, but it's actually something to look forward to as you journey. The aim is never perfection. The aim is progress. It's to become more like Him as we journey. Another thing that I feel that might prohibit us from reaching our destination is loneliness. And the reality of our church and the way we've grew, we have become a lot very quickly. And I'm not using that as an excuse whatsoever. But there is a possibility that you might have fallen through the cracks and you feel that you are lonely. And usually the emotion that goes with loneliness is that you feel unloved. And it's difficult to journey, to run to experience the Lord, to get to your destination, if you're in a place that you feel that you are not loved, and that people do not care about you. Scripture is clear. It says, we shall be known by our love for one another. And I want to ask you, if you are here and we might have missed you, we might not have invited you for a cup of coffee or a meal, or sat down with you or greeted you, and you feel lonely this morning, and you feel that you cannot do this race alone, that feeling is 100% okay, because you can't. We are here for one another. Scripture says we bear one another's burdens. And we do not want you to run alone or feel like that whatsoever. And if you are in that place, and we might have missed you for whatever reason, and you might know someone here or you're in a community, I want you to please reach out to those people. If you don't have someone that you know, or you're not in a community and you feel lonely this morning, I'm going to be here after the service, and I'd love just to introduce myself to you. Because we are people that love one another, and we love God's people. And the Lord has called us to run, and He's also called us to run as individuals. But we're running this race together. And we don't want you to feel alone on the sidelines like you're not running. So if you can be that brave, I would love to be able just to spend time with you and get to know you. We focused on our location and the things that's overwhelming us that might be a stumbling block. We focused on where we are going to, the weight of that, that might just be too heavy for us to carry, and we just actually just take ourselves out the race. If someone has to tell me I have to do a 10K now, I'm not even starting. I'm like, listen, I'm not doing that. But the reality is we need to get in there, and the Lord will give you what you need in the season that you're in. And the last point I want to look at that might be a possible stumbling block or a speed bump or detour in your journey is the fact that we do not look back. And I think for all of us, if we speak about looking back, immediately we get frightened because of Lot's wife. And it's clearly, don't look back. But that is looking back at what you once had. But for you, in order to run where you are going, you need to see how far you've come. You need to look back on the Lord's goodness on your life. So many times we struggle with sin. And it's a thing we struggle with week in, week out, week in, week out. And you walk with someone and you pray and you trust the Lord, and the Lord does things in your life. And then instead of a week, it's once a month, and it goes to once a year. But I still see people so captive with that sin that they had once a week, and that's now once a year, that it completely disables them. And then I was like, just look back what the Lord has done. The first couple of years where I served God is always, Lord, it's the new year and the end of the year. What is your plans for me? What must I change? What is your plans? Where am I going to go? What must I give up? What must I sacrifice? And you just focus on where you're going, and it's just this big mountain ahead of you. And I just, one year he said to me, listen, just look back at the year. Don't look what I'm, just go back. Where were you last year this time? What have I done in your life this past year? When you do that and you look back and you can celebrate what the Lord has done, it gives us the energy and the understanding that we are busy going forward. If you are going forward, you are moving. As long as you move, the Lord will be faithful in the rest. We are not 100 meter sprinters. We are called to put one foot instead in front of the other. One day at a time. One situation at a time. We need to ask for directions. We need to enjoy the coffee break or the toilet break. Sometimes we need it. And some of us need that more than others, like I said. But we need to stop and focus on what the Lord has done. Because once we do that, we'll have energy to run to the future. We need to have consistency. And a lot of times when people say the word consistency, it means you need to do the right thing all of the time. And for me, that's not how I apply consistency to my life. Maybe I'm wrong. You can tell me afterwards. But consistency for me, and what has been of a value to me in my life, is doing all I can, when I can, how often I can. And this is not meaning I'm going to do everything else and what time I have left I will spend. It's whatever moment I have. But for some reason, I cannot have my usual amount of time with the Lord in the mornings, and I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to take that 5 minutes. I'm going to spend that time with Him. If I didn't have that morning time, if I've got 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour of lunch, I will take that. I'm not going to be stuck in a way of doing things. And if that doesn't get met, then I'm not consistent. I'm going to do it as often as I can, not after work and gym and series and whatever, and then I've got 5 minutes before bed. I'm going to do what I need to do and then focus on spending time with the Lord. And we're going to do that over and over how often we can. And if you apply yourself to that rather than this notion and this understanding of doing things perfectly and doing things consistently and doing this hour and a half quiet time every day, you will see that you will grow with the time that you spend with the Lord. And I want to make it very clear that your time with the Lord is more important than anything else. But I also understand that life happens, and sometimes we can't have the time that we want with Him when we want it. So we go on this journey, and what is, now spoken about the location and being a stumbling block, the destination where we're headed, and the fact that we need to look back, but what is it that we actually learn on this journey? You can go to the next slide. This is what the Lord teaches us and the value of our journey. God is more interested in who you become than where you arrive. The journey prepares you for your destination. Fruit grows while walking with Christ. This is why we need to walk things out. This is why we need to journey, because it forms these things. Same as in Joseph's life. His response would have not been his response if he didn't find the Lord in his situations. So there's a call and understanding that we are going from one place to another, and we spoke a little bit about the stumbling blocks and what we can look out for, and if these things happen, be aware if you have a difficult situation, you might not run the race. So what does Scripture say? Get back to Scripture. Okay, I'm going to get over this. I'm going to find the Lord. I'm going to go. If you feel that wherever you're heading is just way too much, I can't get there, go to Scripture, find the Lord. A lamp unto my feet, step by step. Looking back, celebrating the small victories and celebrate the small wins. Sometimes we want this amazing breakthrough in our lives before this is your, the Lord has done. But it's in the small things and celebrating the small things and the small breakthroughs. If we celebrate those times in our lives, we will have the ability. It's like anything. If you just realize the small things in your life and you're thankful for that, the big things will take care of itself. So how can we do this? We know what to do, so this is the reason why we can. We can't forget the value of walking with Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and not our location or our destination. Hebrews 12 verse 3 speaks, and it says, we read there, and let us run this race with endurance. And let us run with endurance this race that is set before us, looking to not our location, not where we're going, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Enemy, eternity, enemy. So I'm slurring up my words here. You guys still with me? Eternity is not a place where we arrive one day. Eternity is found today. It's found in Him. It's found every day. And we live our lives with this one day that we will get to face Him and to meet Him, and we live for that day. But for some of us, that might be in a week, and for some of us, in 70, 80 years. Your eternity is found today as you find Jesus. It's not, you're not living for one day, you're living for today. You need to find Him in your situation today. If you're overwhelmed in whatever situation you're facing, don't pray for the situation to end. Pray for an encounter with Jesus. That is how we get through life. It's not by making plans and seeing into the future, and it's about finding Jesus in your circumstance today. Your journey and the way we journey here, what you do with your life today, what you make of it today, will determine your destination and where you arrive. He is with you always. And sometimes our situation and circumstance is so big, but He is with you always, through everything. He's Emmanuel, God with us. I want to read a couple of scriptures, and these are so powerful. And a lot of the times we go through things and situations in our life, and I just think we give into where we are. It's just like, oh, this is tough. I'm just going to trust the Lord. But what I see that we don't often do is we don't read the scripture over our lives and the promises over our lives. If you feel a certain way, take out the word, have those scriptures, and read them over yourself for that situation. I want to read a couple of scriptures. That's powerful. Isaiah 41 verse 10, it says, "Fear not, I'm with you. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you." Matthew 28, 20, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Deuteronomy 31, "He will never leave you, never forsake you." These are so powerful scriptures. And even as I'm reading them now, I just, faith stirs in me like I can conquer a mountain. And you need to take these scriptures, and if you don't, can't memorize them, put them up in your sun visor in your car, put them in front of your Bible, put them on your mirror at home, but speak these truths over your life, because there's power in His word. There's power in speaking in scriptures over our lives. There's power in that. And we need to go to the word. Don't go to your neighbor or to your friend or your elder and ask him to pray. Read these things over yourself. And we can stand and trust in prayer with you. But first of all, you need to find the Lord. You need to find Jesus. Read these things over. Trust in His promises. And we're going to trust in those promises alongside with you. But what we do is we make the plans. We speak to people. We're like, on a community, please pray for me. Before we've opened scripture, before we've opened the word, before we spoke to the Lord, we opened our community group. Please pray for me for this situation. And don't get me wrong. We love praying for you. We love, but we need to find the Lord first. And that is where the power is. Otherwise, it's just something we do and we've ticked a box, but it's actually, people are praying for you, but you have not even spoken to the person that makes those prayers come true. You need to find Him. You need to read the scriptures over yourself. So we can do this and run this journey because He's with us. Jesus is with us. He's always there. He's our eternity. Jesus is our eternity. That's who we seek. And the last reason why we can do this is because there is grace. And there's a lot of teachings about grace that's not great. Grace is never a license to sin and for you to do what you want to. But Jesus knew that this life is so difficult, we won't get through it, and we would need His help when we fall and when we fail and when the journey becomes too much and we make mistakes. That is what grace is to help us through. To say, like, listen, you have fallen short. You are not running currently, but it's okay. It's okay. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness." And I read that scripture, and it's you sort of read, "My grace is sufficient," and then it's like, okay, amazing. But then you read, it says, "His power is made perfect in your weakness." Question, why are so many of us wanting to be so strong and have it all together? Everybody always wants to have it all together. I just need to look like I've got all in control. But I want to say that I don't have everything in control. I need the Lord. I can tell you now, I'm not prophesying, this is the truth. You don't have everything in control. But His grace is sufficient. But we need to learn that it's okay to say, "I am struggling. I'm not able to get through this. I don't know how or what next." We need to know it's okay to be weak. Because when we are weak, He is. Why do we want to be strong if He is strong in those situations? We make the plans. We phone the bank manager. You always want to make a plan. First and foremost, before we actually just sit. I've learned to take a day. If something has happened, I need to take a day. Because if I can make plans very quickly. I can say, okay, as you can see with the packing, and I like being organized. But I've learned that I can't be organized when it comes to Jesus. He needs to organize my life. I can't. I need to get to Him first. I need to find out, Lord, what are you showing me? What is the right way? How do I respond or react in this situation? What are you teaching me? Lord, okay, help me. This is what your word says. This is what scripture says. And then I can say, okay, Lord, how from here? Is there anything I need to do? And sometimes we need to take the first step. But once we've inquired of the Lord what that first step looks like, it is much better than doing it just out of your own ability because you're struggling and you're going through something.